Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, and welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today. It's Rob Ryan coming to you live from Hollywood. I just wanted to say hi, and I wanted to drop in and welcome you to the last of our special episodes of this summer. But in this particular case, I wanted to come to you and speak directly to you as our audience and recognize a couple of changes and some transition that's gone on. So you've noticed, we've noticed, we have not been on the air the last 2 weeks. So we had 2 weeks off gap between our last episode, which was episode 83, our special episode with Sergio Boromei, and tonight. And that is because there's been some transition that's been going on behind the scenes here at Mentors Today. And we're going to share much more of that transition story with you on this special episode. So we've got a little bit of a two-part special episode tonight in which we're going to do two things. We're going to announce one, what I'll share with you right now, that this will be Ileana Jaime Felix's last episode with us as our co-host of the show. She will always live on in my heart as a great friend. Our friendship will endure forever. And she will always get credit for being the co-creator of this incredible show that we have built for you. But she's moving on to greener pastures. She's moving on to big, exciting new projects, a bigger, deeper concentration on her professional life, and then spending some more time in La Paz with her family, building out on some family business opportunities there. And so she just needed the time to focus on that. And as she and I have always talked about from the beginning, if either one of us or both of us at any moment lost the drive or the energy or just simply didn't have the time to commit to delivering the best possible show that we could deliver for our guests and for you, our audience, that we would opt out. And so she's taken that exit. I called her retired from Mentors Today. And we're super excited about what she's been going on. But we recorded a special conversation between she and I to share with you that we're pretty confident you're going to enjoy. And then also, in the broader context of the show, we thought it would be fun at this moment in transition to go and dig in a little bit behind the scenes. And so we brought Deanna Bernal, our world famous show producer, who you all hear her name and you hear the quality of our show because of her talents and her skills and her hard work over these last 2 years since she's been with us. And I brought Deanna in front of the mic as a guest, and she and I walked through what it's been like to create this show together, some of the technical work behind the scenes that goes into creating the show, so you get a little bit of a vision into how we make this show that all of you tell us that you enjoy so much and that our guests say they have such a great experience with. We discussed a little bit about how technology has evolved and how we're leveraging technology to make the show better, but also to have it be easier to make a great show. And then the punchline of today's special episode is I will tease some of the future that's coming now over the coming episodes, the coming months, and the next couple of years in my life. I'll tease that at the end of the episode as well, because it's really built around this show as the root. And it's really built around creating great storytelling opportunities and telling the great stories of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial thinkers and leaders across the Americas going forward, but doing it in multiple ways and across multiple mediums. So super excited about that. But for now, just jump in and join us and enjoy these two conversations between myself and Ileana and myself and Deanna. Okay, so here we are. I'm fighting back the tears. I'm trying not to get sad. Here we are. We are having, we're dropping this special episode, or I should say special part of this episode this week, because it is Ileana's last show with us. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh my God.
But, right? But it's her last show with us because she is retiring from Mentors Today, but she is going on to live a big, full life, to conquer all kinds of cool new professional opportunities, which she'll talk about later. And someday in the not too distant future to help build a bigger, better, even cooler La Paz in Baja California Sur, which is where she's coming to us live. So, we're going to visit with her. Ile, what's up, buddy? It's been a while. I haven't seen you in a few weeks.
Yeah. Hey, Rob. Hi, everybody. I cannot believe I'm saying this last words right today and saying hi to the audience for the last time.
3 years and a little over 3 years and 3 months.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I was remembering the first conversations that we had around building this project, and that we were actually like when the pandemic was in their peak, and at the beginning I didn't want to do it, but then it was a roller coaster of emotions and learnings and people and advices and formats.
Right. I think we learned as much sometimes from lessons from our guests as our audience did.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Mentors Today has been a source of wisdom for myself and self-growing experience. Not even just because of our great guests and learned about their lives and their journey and their jobs and everything. But because, well, I mean, I get to work with my friend in something very special that we create from zero. And we learned every day by building this baby from scratch. A lot of ups and downs. So yeah, it has been a very nice experience for me to be part of.
It's been a hell of a journey. As I was getting ready for it, I went even further back, in beyond the show into our friendship, and I was thinking of like when/how was the first moment we met, and my recollection of a funny story was we're both in Santiago, Chile. We're both part of this Startup Chile entrepreneurship program, and it's the first few days. That. So this is like February of 2017 now, right? Woo! So, and we're two strangers. We're strangers to each other, and we're strangers in another land where we really don't know anybody. You had a friend that you knew already, and I had nobody that I knew. And that morning, I was sitting over in one part of the co-working space, and I was talking to this couple of young entrepreneurs who also happened to be a couple, I found out at the time. And one of the kids was from Mexico, and I'm talking about Mexico, and I'm talking about how much time I had spent in 2016, the year before, in Mexico, and how many I gave speeches at this place and that place and this, and he's like, oh my God, you know, there's this Mexicana, like there's this Mexican girl, like she's over there, she's sitting over there, like you should know her too, like I mean, because like we should stick together, right, with all the Mexicans. And then somehow Mike Torres, like somehow we get introduced. And then I don't really remember anything until like the first time that we were all like out at a bar with a whole bunch of friends or something. Right. Like it's, I mean, I know that we interacted.
Yeah.
Like once we were introduced, I know you were like, oh, that's crazy. Like you've been to this place in Mexico and you've been to that place, and you probably haven't been to La Paz, but you've been to Guadalajara, and all these different stories. But then I just fast forward and I remember us in like our social group of friends with all the Argentinians.
Yeah, that's like the icebreaker party of the, this like kind of a rally they put us at the beginning.
Yeah.
And we end up in a bar or a disco, I don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
Talking there, yeah.
But the common thing for me was the Mexico thread, right? Which then as we went forward in our friendship, and now obviously it's literally whatever that is, like 6.5 years later. Right, which is crazy. Our friendship has just endured. And hey, audience, like, let's not overreact. Our friendship doesn't end just because she's not doing the show anymore. Our friendship persists. This isn't the retirement from our friendship. This is just the retirement from this podcast.
Yeah.
And we may even do creative things together in the future. Who knows? But she's going off to do what she's going to do now, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But it was a pretty cool story that you and I have repeated to many people in the years since then, all the times we've been together and all the times we've collaborated and done stuff when you were at Endeavor, when you were at Tech de Monterrey, you know, back in Mexico in the entrepreneurial economy, and I was coming down there doing things, doing work with Growth Hacks. And I always remember that. It was like the guy who has the half Mexican daughter, was married to the Mexicana, meeting like someone who basically is just a year and a half or so older than my daughter.
Yeah, first thing you say to me.
Yeah, in Chile. It's the thing I've said for years since then, right? It's just this, you and my daughter, Riley, who the audience hears us talk about all the time.
Actually, that time, or as Taylor Swift will say, era.
Thank you.
That era was the born of Uncle Rob or Tio Rob.
100%. Yeah. Exactly.
you were the tío Rob of the generation of this entrepreneur that we were 14 years in another country. And you were always there giving us advices and having good time with us. So,
yeah, because I was old enough to be some of your dads, not you. Well, close to you, but a lot of the rest of them, the kids that were younger than you.
Yeah. And actually, that's how, like, fast forward, we end up thinking about building this show, because we were very conscious about how much we enjoy talking and all these deep conversations and how we involve other entrepreneurs and other people, and we get to understand, like, the sensibility that both of us have with people, and we end up thinking, like, why won't we build something that people can enjoy with us as much as we enjoy?
See, I remember the origin story slightly differently, because I remember being in, like, the early days, like April, May of the pandemic, and us talking to each other, like, constantly on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And I was back home here in LA, and you were in Guadalajara, and we had just gone into lockdowns in March. I think you guys might have been in lockdowns or not quite yet, but you were getting there. And I'll never forget, like, you and I were talking on WhatsApp one night, and I was, for that, like, 7 or 8 months, I was staying at Riley and Henry's, my daughter and her boyfriend's apartment, because they had left to go remote work somewhere. And I remember you saying, like, oh my God, could you imagine if we recorded and published our WhatsApp conversations?
Yeah, because we were doing, like, 5 minutes audios or something.
Yes. No, we perfected voice notes. I'm still addicted to voice notes years later.
Yeah.
But the funny part was, right, like, that, I think you said it as a joke, and then it kind of stuck with me. And then we started talking about the show, as you said, like, for a bunch of different reasons. But then we quickly learned there was no way we were ever going to publicly do a podcast about our private WhatsApp conversations.
No. it's still something that has to be off the record, because
exactly. We quickly learned. I was like, well, there's things I probably shouldn't say. And then you're like, there's things I'm definitely not saying.
Yeah.
Right. So then it was like this, as you said, then it was like this, okay, but wait, what could we do together?
Yeah.
Right. And what is the uniqueness of, you know, as you said, the era, this has been an era now. We, like you said, we really realized that there was that we had a voice.
Yeah.
Right. That, like, you have your voice, I have my voice, but that there was something about our voices together, which people in our network had gotten used to. People in our social connect network had gotten used to. People in the entrepreneurial economy in Mexico had gotten used to, when they would see us together or hear us, because we look at the world pretty similarly, differently, but, like, pretty similarly, considering we're very different people. And,
yeah,
and we just didn't hear that was being produced out there in the world. And so we did that, which was cool. So, all right. So you just tipped it a minute ago. Like, we've had some incredible, we've done, this is going to be episode 84.
That's crazy. And the first day that we start this, I never imagined that we will recording so much.
literally, like you may have forgotten this, like a year ago, maybe 9 months ago, like end of last year, we were having a conversation and you were like, Rob, I went back and I listened to all of season one. She's like, I think we should delete all of those.
Yes. No, I mean, then it happened that I re-listened again. And then I really find interesting things about those, even though the sketchiness and all that makes me very embarrassed about that.
But and that was my response to you. I was like, no, that's the whole thing. You're supposed to put your worst stuff out there, right?
Yeah.
If you're not, what is the startup phrase? If you're not embarrassed by it, it's not, you know, you got to put stuff out there. So,
yeah.
So, all right. So we've had some incredible guests. We've had some great stories. We've had episodes where I think you and I thought we knew what we were going to expect when we prepped for the show, and we thought we knew what we were going to talk about. And then literally, like your eyes are doing right now, we would get in the middle and somebody would say something, and we would be like, I can't believe they just said that. Or I had no idea of that was in that person's history. I have a list of, this is my guess, and a couple of your favorite guests. And then you can tell me if I'm wrong. And then please tell us any of your favorite shows. So I think one of your top five guests was Sergio Boromai.
Of course. Obviously.
By the way, we did a special episode with him last week. I can talk about it now, like more detail, because he's there. He's at Burning Man. He is DJing this week.
Wow.
Alongside some like world known DJs that he could not talk about on our show last time.
Hey.
Yeah. So I'll probably see him here in LA, like when they're leaving, they're going to spend a couple of days.
Oh my
God. Isn't that crazy? So that was one of your favorites.
The jingle of our show is by Sergio. So.
It is an original piece of music. Another one I would guess, if I had to guess, and then you'll tell us, Taj Eldridge.
No, yeah.
And that was pretty early on. That was like, it's funny. I feel sometimes like the Taj, we just talked to Taj. And the truth is, I got to look at our episodes here.
2021.
Yeah.
April. 2 years ago.
Right? Wow. That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was episode 17.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. That was right after, now I'm looking at the, that was right after we talked about Clubhouse and our drinking habits.
Yeah, it's starting from there, you know, the subject.
But like, what a mix, by the way, look at this, listen to this lineup. Juan Conde, uh-huh. In which, by the way, we were talking about smart contracts. And like 10 minutes into the show, I realized I had no idea what smart contracts were because he was describing them. And I was like, I don't know this is not what I researched. This is not what I thought it was. So we go Juan Conde, Jolin Vallejo, Pablo Jimenez, like an editorialist for El País. And then the next show we do is Clubhouse and our drinking habits.
And Women's History Month.
And Women's History Month. Thank God.
No, that's so random.
So who are some of your favorites? Who like some fun memories if you have some?
Okay, so obviously Sergio, but I also enjoy a lot, and obviously people will notice, Jolene. She has been with us many times, and she's awesome.
She is.
So I really like that. Another one that I enjoy a lot was Janine Sua.
Right.
Her energy was everything. I mean, she is awesome. She's funny. She inspired me a lot. I really enjoy it. But I have a lot of favorite memories.
So do I.
So I also love the David Albo episode.
Oh, wow. Right.
And then when we find out that the next four invites, they had like something with the cheese.
Right. We had like two or three cheesemonger, cheese expert. So let's see if we can, Alex Omerod Gonzalez, right? Cheesemonger. Josue is like selling cheese growing up, like weird obsessions with cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super funny.
And I'm lactose intolerant, so that's even weirder. Like I can't even enjoy all that cheese.
And the one that it's a classic, something that Marcos in the show was the conversation that we have with Joggy Rod,
yeah,
about storytelling.
Yeah.
I think the advices that he gave us that day stick with us, like to build everything that came after 100%. That.
Still, I mean, it still is sticking with me. Yeah. Forward. No, incredible, incredible episode. I saw a funny story on that. So I saw him, Riley and I went and saw the premiere of his second movie like 5-6 weeks ago here in LA. Really incredible. Classic Yogi, like a story that he had worked on and filmed south of Chile. So between Chile and Argentina and Antarctica in the Cape Horn on a sailboat that he had filmed it like 10 years ago. And had just been working on it and working on it and working on it on the side, like while he does his professional sports commentary business like work. And like just and released it, and it's really funny, just a proof of like how when you have a story to tell, you have to tell it no matter how long it takes you to tell it, right? So they had a little kid who played like Little Yogi in the movie in the opening scenes, and it was supposed to be like Little Yogi, he would read this journal from his great 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 grandfather under the sheets in his bed. And so this kid who when they filmed this was like seven, right? Now is like a 16-year-old. And so he was there, and Yogi kept wanting to like make a bigger deal out of him, but he's a teenager, right? So he's like, yeah, it was okay. It was cool. Like when I was seven, right? But it was just proof. It was proof of like how long these things take sometimes to just pursue that creative journey. And then another separate side note is Amy Kim, Yogi's wife. Yeah. So one of our rare husband and wife duos that we've had on the show in her own episode, by the way. We don't do husband and wives together. The woman gets her own platform. But she, her business is just killing it. Killing it. And she just released like a demo reel about the company today on YouTube. So you can go check that out if you look up Kindtail. But yeah, no, I will always remember that. There was one that I was curious. I wanted to ask you this question. How many, if you had a quick guess, how many of our guests have you gone on to meet in person or like hang out with? Because I'm seeing like Ileana Gonzalez, and I know you guys have hung out or met in Guadalajara. And then Mike Medina, who I know you just saw recently.
Yeah, I saw him like last month. And we're still in touch like every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, now if I look out the list of the guests, I think I have met... actually, I didn't... I forgot to tell you about this. But I saw René Lomelí.
Ah, when you were in Mexico City.
Yeah, but it was something very fast because I was, you know, the people that are following this show.
Yeah.
That I work for a supermarket that is called Gemma.
Yeah.
And we were in the lounge party of one of the stores. And he went as a client.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, hey, I know you. And I was like, René, wow, what are you doing here?
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was really nice. He was with his wife, I think.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, I think they've been married for a while. Yeah.
And both of them were very nice. So
that's awesome. So there's your I ran into someone in public who didn't know you off the top of your head story. That's like a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That's like when someone recognized you because you were the Mentors Today host.
Actually, yeah, because it was the only time that we have met.
That's awesome.
It was really, really funny.
So many great, I'm just scrolling, like so many Stephanie Bermudez from the southern border of Arizona, from Nogales.
Sure.
Asher.
I mean, that was a life-changing experience, you know?
Yeah, literally.
As everything she touches, she puts a, like a bright... In colors.
Can you imagine if we ever got Asher, Jay, and Janine Sua together at the same dinner?
Oof. No, I mean, we should do that.
We might change the world.
We need.
Like, just those two women.
And also, I don't know, put what will be a good mixture there.
Oof,
like a balance, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe just load it. Just don't try and balance. Just go all in. Let's get Ileana Gonzalez in that group. Let's get Jolynn at that table. Like just all the women.
Wow. Yeah.
No, it's been awesome. I mean, it's we could go on for days and days and days talking about the episodes. We've been so blessed to have so many cool guests. I think one of the things I take a great point of pride in, and I know we battled this sometimes when we worry about like, are enough people listening and how we get more people, you know, if we just made a show like everybody else does and we just talk to the already famous people, like maybe we have more followers. But I really do take a point of pride of like the fact that you and I know and then talk to, and I know it sounds like overused word nowadays, but like we really use the platform to amplify the stories of people who aren't necessarily always the people that want to get interviewed. And I was sometimes surprised. And I know you would be like afterwards when they would talk to us. But like I was sometimes surprised by how when I would reach out and invite someone to book them for the show and they'd be like, I've never been on a podcast. Oh my God, I can't believe you're asking me. And I'm like, how is that possible? Like you're super important or you're super engaged in the community.
Yeah.
So I was always really, really proud of that.
Yeah, and the other thing that made me proud about the show, it's the answer of the guests after the interviews that sometimes we were like very impressed about what happened during the conversation, what we learned and everything. And then they were very grateful also of being part of the show. And we were like, wow, you are like a very important person. Like, we should be the ones that, you know, we impress about you have you being in our show. And sometimes they were like, this experience, it was one of the best interviews I ever had. And you get to know that they had a good time, because I think the vibe that we create during the conversations was very genuine, honest. It was like a safe space for the guests. That was something that make the show different. And I think it will be continue be there, because it's about the personalities that you and I have that build this space for them. So
it won't be exactly the same, because it's like a room that then doesn't have a person in it, right? So but to your point, correct. And I humbly take the mantle forward, right? Because it was your personality and your humility and your grace, along with my personality and my energy and my empathy, and that made for like a unique, as you said, a safe space to amplify people, and people, yeah, people came and they enjoyed, but then they also like shared, and they felt they could open up, and they talked about things that, you know, were controversial sometimes, or that they didn't always talk about in their public lives. And we were always, like you said, I think we were always really grateful for them, and they felt that. And then they were grateful for us. And then it was just like this love society.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Which again, now that's my job, is to like continue that on. So, all right. So talking about continuing on. So, all right. So you're leaving the show because you've got a day job. You've got a second project job. You've got a third project job. And your family is someday going to like rewrite the real estate vision for La Paz. So Talk to us about what's going on now, and like what's coming up, and kind of, you know, what you're excited about in this near term future. I'm not putting pressure on you. I don't want to hear 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Like, I'm just talking like the next year, year and a half. Like, what's on your plate?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not that sure about everything, and it's not that everything is like settled or built, but I mean, the decision of going away from the show is because right now I'm participating in different initiatives in my day job. I have more responsibilities, and then I'm always looking for stuff to do, to learn more. And then, as you say, there are projects with my family that are coming up. So I didn't want it to be part of something that I could put in my 100% energy, and just not do it just because doing it, and that's it. So, I mean, I'm still in my day job, building this retail supermarket brand.
And spend a lot of time in Mexico City now because of that.
Yeah, and spending more time there. As you know, I live in Guadalajara. Yeah, my job requires me sometimes to be traveling to Ciudad de Mexico. And I'm trying to put more order in my life, even though it sounds that it's a lot. I mean, it is, but
yeah, but it's also like it's a bit of a reaction / balance. It's like the other side of a seesaw, because really a lot of this last year working remotely in Guadalajara alone without a team, since the company had shut down the stores in your region, like that's been tough.
I mean, I have told you this off the record.
Yeah, no.
You know, I'm a very people's person, and I enjoy a lot to be around people, and very social person. So I wanted to recover that in a professional way, because I've done this, but more socially. So yeah, I took the decision to put more into that basket, the professional one. And
it gives you new experiences, new people, keeps you busy. Like, yeah. Obviously makes you money, like, you know, challenges you in different ways.
Yeah.
You've shared some of the details of it with me. It's all stuff that you're really good at. So, like, it's things that you will be successful at in your pursuits. So that's not anything you have to worry about. It's healthy. It's good for you. You know, the reality is everything we do in life, the way I view life, is temporary. Like, everything is a chapter in a book or a scene in a movie, right? You should get the most out of it that you can get out of it in the moment, and like live it fully and absorb everything you can out of it, all the love, all the intensity, all the possibility, all the struggle, and then when that end naturally happens, like, it's time to move on. Like, I famously said to my former partner at Growth Hacks years ago, I was like, you know, we were a couple years into it, and I said, like, 3, 4, 5 years into this, like, you're going to be happy to get rid of me. Like, you'll be happy to move on. And he was like, oh, no, that's not true. And then when he was ready to move on a little bit longer than I had thought, we had that conversation again. And he was worried. He was stressed. He thought, like, I was going to feel disappointment, or I was going to feel, like, disappointment in him as a person. I was like, dude, like, this is, like, go fly. And that's the same way I feel about you and this show. Like, our friendship endures, right? Like, you're stuck with me until I die. So, like, yeah. you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me for at least 20 or 30 more years. But at the end of it is, like, I never, even when we were creating this and I kind of saw that it maybe was going to be something more than just, like, a side hobby, even then I knew, like, at some point, like, Ileana grows beyond this. Right. And there's other things you go do. And then the show changes, and then I change and I evolve. So I'm grateful for every minute. Our friendship endures. I love you. You know that. I couldn't be more proud of you. You know that. But the show has been an absolute blast. I mean, to go from an idea, a crazy idea that we knew we were never going to make our private statements public, to, like, interviewing the people that we've interviewed, and to then hear the stories. I mean, hey, we always want more listeners and more viewers and more followers and subscribers and likers. But the truth is, the ones we have, like, love this show and love our guests, like, passionately. And that's where every great thing that's ever been created starts. So I'm super grateful for you. I will forever be grateful for the moment that you said, why don't we do a podcast, right? And then I was like, maybe this does serve my creative side. And with what I'm about to go do now, like, is literally, people will understand how closely rooted what I'm about to go do now is to what you helped me get started doing. So if you don't believe that in your 50s, you can reinvent yourself and you can do stuff that maybe you're kind of good at that doesn't necessarily make money or isn't part of your job, Mentors Today is walking proof of that, because this crazy, at the time, late 20-something, 30-something year old told me, like, I think we could do a podcast together. Like, this would be fun. And I believed you. And we have. And it's been, I wouldn't trade a second of it. So you will be missed. The show will be different, obviously. Yeah. But it doesn't, like, you're always part of the show. You always get credit for having built it. And you changed my life. So thank you.
Oh, I'm going to cry. No, I mean, I'm super grateful too for you to invite me to be part of this crazy project at the beginning. And obviously we'll still friends, this is not a goodbye for us. Maybe we'll meet later in another project.
Yeah, the podcast is gonna, your involvement with the podcast is gonna end, and then you're finally gonna come visit me in LA.
Yeah,
we're gonna have done like 80 episodes of a podcast in between, and then you're gonna come see me in LA.
Which is crazy, because we haven't seen each other.
And since 2019.
Yeah. So this,
you were the last person I saw in Mexico before I left.
Yeah. This project has
kept us. Yes, exactly. However we're going to say it. Yes. We're stealing the words from each other's mouth. All right. Yep. I love you. You're awesome. Thank you. If I wanted to be really, really nerdy, I would make you give three pieces of advice to the audience, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, my advice will be like, go back to Mentors Today, season 1, 2, revisit all the episodes, and you will find a lot of wisdom there. And keep following Rob, because everybody needs an Uncle Rob in their lives. There's no one like him. So, and yeah, I mean, the third one will be like, yeah, don't never stop reinventing yourself and pursuing what you feel, your feeling, and don't be afraid to say stuff and to be honest to yourself and to your friends, and that won't ever take you a friendship, being honest. Well, hopefully, but be true to yourself and honest, and that will be my third advice. And I will say, like, to summarize and close, that I'm super grateful that this project let me end my fear of speaking English in public. It makes me learn a lot. And when we start, I didn't thought that I would be able to speak that much in English and like have this conversation and share my thoughts and my opinions in a certain level in another language, even though I know English, but, you know, to give an opinion something different when it's not your language. So
you crushed it. You did great.
Yeah, this show gave me that, and also gave me the opportunity to meet awesome people and to keep one of my best friends very close.
Yes.
And to see how people admire you and celebrate what you are building, and then celebrate what we were building. It was a complete honor for me, and it will still always in my heart. Thank
That's awesome.
You so much.
Love you. Okay, so this is a cool conversation that I get to have with my friend and my trusted right-hand co-creator, my creative co-conspirator here at Mentors Today. And it's a rare moment that we get to put Deanna Bernal in front of the microphone. Deanna, welcome.
Hi, Rob. Wow, it's a pleasure to be here, an honor. I feel a little bit nervous, but I think that's part of the process. That's
it is part of
being
process.
Interviewing. But yes. I'm fine, and it's a pleasure, a real pleasure
yes.
to be here.
It is fun to put you in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
So we've done probably, I don't know the exact number, let's say you've been directly involved in probably two-thirds of our episodes, so probably 60-ish. Right, 60 plus of our episodes, and this is the first time our audience is actually getting to hear your voice.
Yeah. It's okay. A little bit weird, but here I am.
Yes, there you are. And where you are, just for context for everybody, we always talk about that the show is recorded in Los Angeles or Guadalajara, and then produced by you in Mexico City. What part of the city do you live in for people that have been to Mexico City?
I live really, really near here in Polanco. And also I have here nearly Lomas, that it's Santa Fe, Polanco, yeah. Santa Fe, and I'm in the middle of that.
Yeah, very, Santa very Fe. Central in the city. So anybody that has ever listened to our show, which most everybody has traveled to or lives in Mexico City, now they know where you create all the magic for our show.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's what we're going to do. So it's kind of a special episode. We're gonna go a little bit behind the scenes. We're going to talk about basically kind of two big things. And then at the end, I'll preview some of what's coming up in the coming months and next year for all of our listeners and our fans. But the first thing I want to do is I just want to have you and I kind of walk through and help people understand like how we make the show, right? Like literally the process that goes in kind of behind the scenes, as we say, right? Into the show, because I think there's a misperception by people who listen to podcasts, right? That the show and the value of the show is all about the host or the hosts. Right?
Yeah.
And while you would humbly say, well, yes, that's true, and the host is really important, I would flip it around and say that the truth is the host is like very secondarily important, Because if the people who are producing the show, in this case you, our show producer, aren't really, really good at it and don't have a sense for timing and don't have a sense for the tone and don't have a sense for audio as a particular medium, then the show, the host could be great, but the show is going to be terrible.
Well, you know, the host is like the nice face in front of the whole show. No, in this case, it's the nice voice.
Right.
But a lot of things happen behind. I mean, we need to do some show notes. We need to do some research. What kind of people are we going to invite? Why they? Are they involved or related with our mission, with our point of view? What kind of stories we want to share? So that's a lot of process behind. First, we need to have Rob, our host, inviting other people. Hey, come to the show. We want to share your story with the people.
Yeah.
Then I have to send some welcome emails, some emails that, hey, we are going to use this platform. Yeah. You need this microphone or maybe not this microphone. Hey, we need a quiet space. That kind of recommendation to the guest.
And that's before we even get them on
exactly,
the show.
Exactly.
And sometimes that's like weeks and weeks before.
Exactly. I mean, the guest set a day and then we prepare the guest before that recording day. I mean, there's weeks, days before sending this email, sending this information. We share the questions that maybe are going to be asking the production. So be prepared. You have time. Don't worry. It's all on us. Don't worry about it. You just need to be prepared with this question. And that's it. So,
and as we've gone from the start, which I was just thinking right before we just got started, like you've been involved in probably 2/3 of our episodes. So all the way back to kind of the end of season one was where you took over. So I think it was like the autumn of 2021. So it's been a little over 2 years, right? Which is crazy to think. Feels like it was just yesterday, but it also feels like also sometimes feels like it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. But so you, one of the things I love about you is that you made the whole process. Well, first of all, you created a process, like, and then you made the whole process easier, not just for me. In the past for me and Ileana, but for the guests as well.
And so
a couple things went into that. Like I'll highlight a couple things and maybe you can talk about them. So back in the beginning, like when you came in, literally you just said, okay, I'm going to think about the process, the steps that have to happen from the time you say, hey, I think I'd like to invite this woman to be a guest on our show. And I say that to you. And from the time that happens, like it pops into my brain, all the way through to the time we hit record with them and then we finish with them. You said to me very early on, like, I'm just going to take over these things. Like, I'm going to make sure that I do these things, that we get these things done. But then little by little, over the couple of years, like, you have automated these things. Like, you literally, like, you really created, I mean, I used to tease you back in your first couple of, like, 4 or 5 months. I used to say, like, you were like the spreadsheet queen. Because you showed me a spreadsheet one time that had so much information on it. And I'm terrible with spreadsheets. And so I like looked at this thing and I was like, well, it looks like it could launch a rocket to space. It was so organized and it had so much detail. So talk about a little bit about that. We have kind of like a pre-show. We've booked you. We're getting you ready. Then we have we're getting you ready for the actual episode part of the process. That's kind of like the middle part. And then we have the recording of the episode. And then we have the post show, and we even do follow up with the guests afterwards. And then we also do promotional content, but we don't just do that for ourselves. Like, we do that and we share that with them.
Exactly. I think the most important part on a podcast is a system, create a system so everything is easier for all of us. I mean, since the beginning, sharing some information to the guests, recording, making some follow-up, as you said, like, hey, thank you so much for being part of our podcast. We are going to release your episode this day, so be prepared. But also we invite you to listen to other episodes, so that's really important for us. And at the same time, I do all the editions, listen to the whole episode, editing. Then, now that I have all this process, all this whole episode, I need to do some promotion things. Hey, this clip was awesome. The guest said this and this was incredible. So I need to cut that and put that on some social media. Yeah.
And then we capture all of that social media content and the clips and the all that, and we create a Google folder that then we share with all the guests afterwards. So you were a guest on our show. The minute you end the show, which I think is how most podcasts are, like you just end the show and it's like, thanks, that was great, see ya, right? And in our case, you're going to get a follow-up from us thanking you. So mm-hmm. you're going to get an email that's automated, yeah. and but personalized but automated. And then you're going to get another follow-up after your show airs that's going to have like all of that week's worth of content attached to it so that you can use that content in your own business, in your own brand building, to promote your story, to promote yourself with in your work.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Because it's all repostable, reshareable.
Yeah, yeah. Are things that the guest said and maybe it's useful for them, maybe it's useful for promote their business, their story, and that's it. Yeah, exactly.
So I have a question for you. I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Going all the way back to the beginning of our relationship, and the last 2 years of the podcast was me and Ileana as our co-hosts, mm-hmm. right? And you being the producing, editing, and all the stuff you just said behind the scenes. Did it take you a while in the beginning to like get our tone? I don't know like how else to better say it, but like to get me, to like understand me. Did it take you a while to like, so that the production that comes out of the back end sounds like me, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand that. Yes, it takes me a little bit because I had to listen to all the whole episodes that you already had. So I can understand, hey, this is Rob Ryan. Hey, this is Ileana. They are trying to say this. They are trying to share this kind of a story. So I need to emphasize the people, not the business. That's how I work on those early days, trying to find the space so the podcast is more focused on the people, on the person, on the guest, more than the business or how they work, something like that.
That's awesome. That's because I always figured that, and it was one of the things that impressed me about your work and you right away was like it seemingly, and now I know maybe it's because you went back and you listened to what we had done before you and you picked up on our, and I keep saying the word tone, I think the better word would be voice.
Yeah,
like not voice, like the vocal tone, not how I sound, but like the voice of the show, right? The manifestation of the show. Like you really figured it out pretty quickly. Because I remember you sending me one of the drafts and quick insights. So that's how it happens, people, is literally, it happens less now. It's more efficient, but it used to happen. Like we would record the episode. She would get the downloaded file. You actually produce the sound, like you edit the sound in a separate software system, right? Not in the same one.
No. I use Logic.
So we record it on this Zencastr platform that we're recording on today. And then you take it out of there and you post-produce it. And then typically, audience, what would happen is she would send me a draft and be like, hey, listen to this to like see if you like it or see if you want to make any changes. And in the beginning, like first couple of months, I would listen to it and I would send it back. And then she would make some edits and send it back. But it only took us a few months before, like, all of a sudden I would listen to it. And I'd be like, that's done. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's done. Like, we can publish that, right? And that was because you had really kind of figured out the voice of, like, what you wanted the show to.
What was the intention of the podcast. That's the whole thing. And I also remember that the first thing that we need to change in this podcast was the platform, because we used to use Anchor, do you remember that?
Right.
But Anchor was a mess for me because all the voice were in one file. So I was trying to edit it. And sometimes you were louder, but Ileana was quiet. But the guest was a little bit weird. So it was like crazy, the craziest thing. So that's why we decided to change that to Zencastr. So have separate files, separate voice, so I can edit once at a time. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And it makes it easier because then you're able to do some of the more creative stuff that you do now, like recently, like this last year, where you add in other sound clips and other like sound effects and stuff like that, because the actual technical product that we use enables it easier for you to edit it all together.
Yeah.
Your software.
Exactly.
Because I also remember another part of that, I guess, was so as you started getting really good at the tone and the voice of the show, then there was less work for me to do because, like, creatively, because once I had recorded the show, then it was really truly in your hands. And progressively, I was just kind of like stamping it with approval, going like, yep, that sounds great. Okay, let's write
the show
notes and come up with a title.
Yeah.
And it was, and I'll use this to tell a funny story that is a compliment of you. It is that you learned quickly, but you were very patient with yourself about like how to manage me. So in professional speak, we say learning how to manage up. Right. and so you learned, and this is awesome because for those that don't know, you're dramatically younger than I am. I think there's about 32 years between us or something like that.
Yeah, maybe, yes.
Right. And so that could be hard for some people, right. To assert themselves and kind of tell the boss, quote unquote, you know, what to do or how to do it. But you were really good at it. And I like to think I trusted. So that maybe made it a little bit easier, right? Like I was like, no, you're the producer. I'm just the on-air talent. So tell me. Because you just made a joke about something that happens pretty regularly, technically, which is that I get so excited, I talk way too loudly.
And it's not
because I'm yelling. It's not because I'm like, we always try and change the microphone settings, but it's really just because I get so excited about what we're talking about or the person we're talking to that I start waving my arms around like I am right now. And then you have to control for that vocal so that it doesn't get out of whack. But when we were producing and readying to release the show each week, eventually you got to a point where you were like, hey, no disrespect, boss, but like you're slowing down the process because you're taking too long to write the notes that are the notes that show up when people, you listeners, when you see it on Apple or you see it on Spotify or on Google, SoundCloud, where it gives you a little description of the show and it invites you to follow up with the links and the notes that come from that show or somebody's book or somebody's other show. And then we would always have to come up with a title. And so those two exercises would always be happening like on a Tuesday or Wednesday night at like midnight your time, right? And I'd be, and you'd be like, I need to go to bed. And I'd be sitting there like coming up with all these creative ideas. And then, and this is where we like can talk a little bit about how we've used technology in the last, say, 6 months to make the process better, which then I think makes the show better. But you said to me like, hey, what if we use AI? What if we started using, you know, whatever ChatGPT or whatever it was that we use to start like capturing some of this? And then what if I went back and I just created like a template of this is the basic things that we always say in every show note, but then we pre-populate it with AI. And then Rob, all you have to do is like edit it, you know, delete a couple of sentences, add in a couple of words maybe. And I got to tell you, like that was a huge breakthrough for our process. Maybe people don't sense it in the show. Hopefully it doesn't seem inauthentic, but that was a big deal. Like,
yeah, exactly. Well, the first years was without AI. We haven't even used an AI. Every show note was about making some brainstorm, thinking about it, playing with the title. At the beginning, that was the hardest part for me on the show because being that kind of creativity wasn't on my background. That was really, really, really difficult for me.
And then it was mine, but then that left me as the bottleneck. So that I was the thing that was slowing the production of the show down.
Exactly. So in those years, we have to be really, really patient about it. How we are going to work on this, how I can pressure to you, right. But always being respectful and all that kind of stuff. So in the last couple of months, maybe 6-5 months ago, we started using AI. So AI make this job easier.
Yeah,
because you only put some words, have some tasks, and that's it. And we don't.
Yeah. So you got really good at learning how to prompt the tool to create the general content. And then basically, literally, I've said this to friends when they ask me about like how we write the show notes and stuff. I'm like, honestly, now I'm just the editor. And I can sit there at 10 o'clock at night and just edit 5-6 sentences out of 2 paragraphs. That's easy.
Yeah.
But then about the same, like in the middle of the journey of learning that we could use it for show notes, you had this like aha moment where you went, wait, what if we also use it to do the script for the actual episode, like for the questions? And then you start, so now we went back to like pre-show prep,
Sí.
And we use ChatGPT again, and it, again, it pre-populates. So you feed in, here's their bio, here's their LinkedIn.
Exactly. ChatGPT comes to make us a lot of things easier. So now with the show notes, I just need to put some bio details, some background details about the guest, and that's it. And ChatGPT, it makes all the work for us.
Okay. So last kind of big topic I want to cover. So I will say this is me complimenting you. You're really good at this. Like I tell you that all the time. You know, I tell you that all the time. And it's true. It's not just me complimenting you. Like you're really, really good at this. People, the responses that we get in DMs and in emails and in phone calls and in meetings after people are on our show is always that like the experience couldn't have been any easier. Like that they felt so prepared, that they felt so comfortable, that they felt they were really nervous going into it, but then they felt like calm once they got involved in it. And if it was like they were able to be themselves, how kind it was of us to follow up, how useful the social media content information was for them after the fact, how we made it so easy for them to re-promote it. And so a lot, like 90% of everything I just said is to do with you, right? And you're not just good at it because you're good at it, because it's like some skill you picked up. Like you're passionate about this. So I wanted to have you share a little bit about your passion for producing audio and video. Like you've worked on TV shows at your University of Tec de Monterrey in Mexico. You've worked on this podcast. You've worked on other podcasts. Talk to us about that. Like, how did you get into this? Like, were you always into this stuff, even when you were a little kid? Or was it when you were in university, you kind of fell in love with this stuff?
Well, this is really crazy because I haven't been before, never into the video production world. Never, 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 never. When I was at my first year in the university, I decided to study code, programming, tech, you know.
Typical.
Yeah, exactly. That was my vision for my life. But then in the really first year, I had like kind of a big moment in my life that I couldn't even be more involved with the code. In that first year, I was really stressed. I have some depression. It was really hard for me.
First year at university is hard for almost all of us at some point, right? Like we're thinking this is supposed to be what we're supposed to do for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. But more than that, because I really love tech, I really love code, but I didn't believe in myself in that moment. So that was really, really, really hard. So I decided to change my life and I decided to study another
field.
Exactly. And the only thing that I loved in that moment was music and tech. So I decided to study music production.
Let me give some context to our audience who's not from Mexico or not from Latin America. Like in American culture, the idea that like we go into university and we're not sure what we're going to do, and then we change course, then we change course again, and we change course again. And sometimes we even transfer universities and change universities and move places and go to a different city. Like that's very common in American culture, like American university age culture. That's not common at all
in Latin America, no.
In Latin America or Mexican culture. Like, and I didn't really understand that until 2016, 2017, years before you and I met, when I had repeated opportunities to speak at your university. And some more context for our listeners is her university is a really unique university. It's the leading private university in Latin America, but it's definitely the leading private university in Mexico. And unlike American universities, which tend to have like a campus, and then maybe they have online, but they have a campus in one city, in one place, Tec de Monterrey has like 31 or 32 different campuses in like 30 of the Mexican states. And then they have like high schools that are attached to it. And then they have pre-elementary schools that are attached to it. So it's this kind of big universe. And it's when you get in, it's like you pick what your major is. You study that. That's what you're going to graduate with. That's the job you're going to get. And the culture is just not very. So for you to have those doubts, like that wasn't just Deanna having doubts. That was like Deanna having doubts. And then those doubts become more difficult. Because
of the social pressure.
And the social pressure is like, you're not supposed to have any doubts. Like you're supposed to, right? And yet, to compliment you, and I've seen this since we've been working together, like you always find a way to work through your challenges. like, and you're very humble and very good about like self-care and asking for, you know, time and when you need to like take a break to like focus on getting yourself. And like, you don't as much as you probably think you get super behind and fall off the wagon. Like the truth is you don't. Like you're for your age, you do a masterful job of like being self-aware and like holding on to things to say like, okay, wait a minute. I got a little off track for a couple of weeks, but now I'm getting it back on track. Like some people, most people your age will go off track for years. You don't do that. So
well, it took me a lot of years being that focus on because, well, you know, Mexican, they are always working. You need to always be doing something all the time. So it's really difficult here for us to take a break, to take a moment for yourself. But yeah, so I decided to change my career. I decided to change my life, my point, my vision for life. And at the last year, the very last year or the very last semester of my career in music production, I discovered the TV show producer media world because at my university, there was a new project called Blue Media. Blue Media was kind of a TV house production. Yeah. So I was one of the first people
to go through that cohort,
to go in that project and make some TV shows. We create two TV shows. One was Punto y Jana, that was a talk show. Yeah, do you remember that? And the second was Cantalo, that it was like a song.
Like a variety show. Yeah, variety. Yeah.
Like The Voice?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So in that year, I fell in love with all the process. I love the process. I love the systems. So making a show from zero to having like 2,000 viewers in 6 months was really stressful. Really stressful. A lot of work, a lot of thinking, making some time for the TV production, making some time for your school, making some time for your health. So it was crazy.
And producing this podcast the whole time.
Exactly. And also at the same time, I was working on my music production stuff, like producing some podcasts, some intro podcasts. So it was crazy. I was really, really involved in the entertainment world in those years. So I fell in love.
It's awesome. It's awesome because, and you know, we talk about this with our guests all the time, right? The things that we care about in life, like the things that we're deeply, we really care about. And our show, this show that the people are listening to is good. Yes, it's a confluence of circumstances and it's everybody's talents mixing together and it's curating the right guests for the right reasons. And it's having a clear mission. And you ask me this every year. At the beginning of every year, we stop and we say, okay, what's the mission for the show this year? What is its purpose? And we've told that story in different ways. And we'll do it again next year. But I am so lucky and grateful to you because while people will think that the show is all about me and my love for this, the truth is that the show only exists and is only as good as it is because you care about it as much as I do. And there are parts of it that, all respect to both of us and our specific skills, there are some aspects of it that you care about more than I do. because you're very particular about like how you know that it needs to sound and how you want it to function and how the timing should work and all that stuff. And those are things that I didn't even think about until I met you. So you've made me better as a host, and I'm just getting started, right? But you've also made the show better. And then hopefully you've grown. I know you have, but like you've grown in your experience and your perspective. And we're like, that's the whole goal, right? Is that we're telling the stories of all these incredible people across the areas that we work in the Americas. And we do that because that's our real passion. But the truth is, like, if you really are a listener of the show, you know that the show is rarely ever about me. And except for dragging you on the show today, you would never want to have the show be about you. Like, so the funny thing is that it takes two people who really are deeply passionate about other people and telling other people's stories to make something as good as what this is. For that, I thank you. I think you're awesome. I think we've given people a little bit of a behind the scenes. Like, there's a whole process that goes into this from the moment I say like, hey, I think I'm going to invite Pedro to be on the show. And then that triggers a whole bunch of things, a lot of which, 75% of which, maybe 50, 60, 75% of which is now automated. which makes the rest of it really easy, because then that allows me to just show up and do the show and create a great conversation with the person. And it allows you to just take the show and listen to it in your privacy and then masterfully, magically make it into something that is funny and smart and human and emotional. And that's awesome. Here's the really cool news to finish this up, is that you and I always said when we first met, it was just like, let's just work on the show. And then as we got to know each other, it was like, oh man, I hope we find other ways to creatively work together on other things, right? And then we're always joking, teasing with each other, because I literally live in Hollywood within visual of the Hollywood sign. And you love anytime I post stuff about Hollywood or the movies or the Hollywood, the Walk of Stars, which is my street down here, right? You love that stuff because you're like me, you're a movie, TV, media person. And so share a little bit of news like coming forward. So as we say in the intro, one of the reasons that we're sharing this particular episode is because it's a time of transition, because the show is shifting from one era of these last 3 years.
Like Taylor.
Right? Exactly. Just like everything else. We're going from that era to the new era. And so we're super excited about that. And as I've said before, during the summer episodes, we've got some very particular ideas. We've already started playing with a couple of them. We're going to play with a couple more for the show. So kind of ways we can bring the show closer to you, right? That means live conversationally, so we can have guests and audience participating in the same forum. So we're going to use some different technological formats to do that. We'll play with different platforms that allow live streaming broadcasting nowadays. Deanna just told me right before we went on to this, we're going to have to start playing with some video at some point, because that's what the world is doing. And so we'll do that. Although we're really going to always make it a great audio experience for your ears. And then we're going to work with some partners to play with opportunities to bring it into your communities and start doing like a whole different kind of show, because that's a whole different production thing that's going to have a new process to it and new systems to it, because there's a different thing than recording this, me sitting in my computer in my kitchen in Hollywood and Deanna in Mexico City with her software, and then Ileana or whoever guest is on the show, wherever they were. That's one way to do a podcast, but it's another way to do a podcast like a lot of people do, where you sit in a studio and you have microphones and you have different sound technology. So we'll play with that this year. But again, the whole mission is to try and bring this show closer to you all that are listening to us, so that more and more people find it to be more valuable. But also beyond that, we've got some news that isn't really public news yet, but if you're listening to this show, I figure you can get the scoop a little bit before the rest of the world does, is that there's a big shift going on in our business and my business. And we're shifting from our consulting business background that has been the basis for our business for the last 7.5 years. And we're embarking with some partners on building a new media company, and getting ourselves further into the business of media storytelling and media production. And so I'm super excited about that, because we'll see where Deanna and I can take that. And over time, we'll involve other talented people around us. But we've got some opportunities to talk about some show concepts in the television world. We're going to keep working on this podcast. We've got some opportunities to think about things in the book world. And then we've got some other opportunities to do some other kind of content media things around that in the next couple of years. And so you're getting the secret scoop now. Deanna and I are sharing with you that the future is bright, even though there's change. And even though we're shifting how this show is going to sound and who's going to be in your ear or not in your ear going forward. But change is inevitable. It's a healthy, good thing in life. It's exciting when you refresh things. We're excited to deliver the next 20 some odd episodes of this show and get to 100 episodes by the end of this year. And then we'll reevaluate and we'll look at next year. We'll see how this fits, so that we can keep making great content for you, great audio content, but eventually great video content, great written formatted content, great live content. Like, we're going to do a lot of different things in the next couple of years. And it all is because of you, the audience that listens to us here, and you, the talented people that help make this into what it is. So Deanna, thanks for joining the show on the guest side.
Yeah, no, it was totally a pleasure and honor to be in here and be in interview with by you, Rob. Absolutely crazy, but a pleasure. And yeah, the people should be waiting for a great new content, a great new era for us, for Mentors Today.
And as always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City. You can always find, like, follow, subscribe, and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today. And if you'd like to connect with our host, you can find Rob at I Am Rob Ryan on just about any social media platform. Gracias, and thank you.